talking. We're going talking today where things are popping. The Marion way, we're going to drop in on discussions of the day on the Exchange Club. Exchange Club, we're going debating. We're going to debate very loud and we'll be laughing and floating high on a cloud. Phones are ringing from listeners all around on the Exchange Club. Exchange Club, and we'll guess and goof and talk on Exchange. Read, debate, and think it's Exchange. Tune in, we're on. Turn on, I'm in. It's on today. The Exchange Club.
Hey, it's a Getaway Friday, Friday, May the 14th, 2021, 17 minutes past the hour. You're tuned into The Exchange Club here on WWGH Radio on what is shaping up to be a very nice day. Now, don't forget, tonight I'll be on the air with Angie Evers from 8:10 until 10 p.m. Don't miss that show for love or money. Now, this morning, here on this station, we were doing a little bit of Marion history. And it turned into an interesting question. I did my research on city downtown parking and the streetscape program and things of that nature. And how we got to the downtown situation that we're currently in. Now, is there anybody who would still like to comment on that? In regard to the articles I read earlier this morning from 1981, 740-383-9944, that's 740-383-9944. I think the perspective that we got because of that was very, very good. We learned that there were a lot of things that were supposed to be downtown. There was supposed to be a five-tier parking garage over by the Harding Hotel. There was supposed to be sculptures downtown, which I don't think exist. There was supposed to be unique signing downtown, which I don't think ever happened. But that's what we learned this morning. And they also had talked about bonds, municipal bonds, to help shop owners pay for the areas in front of their storefront downtown for all this beautification to go on in 1981. I think it was $190 if you were on Center Street or Main Street, and $160 if you were on Prospect Street. Now, is anybody out there listening who had a shop on any of those streets who remembers this streetscape program and what it caused? Or were you involved in politics, or maybe you were just around Marion at that time? Give me a buzz, 740-383-9944. Also, we talked about the parking on Center Street during that time, 1981-1982, that Center Street lost nearly half its parking, something like 109 spaces down to 55. Because of this, and all downtown lost about 30% of its parking during this period of 80, 81, and 82. So, that's what happened. Those articles were from the Marion Star that I read this morning, and I gave you the dates, March and April of 81, and I'll get some more on the one-way streets next week. But does anybody have any thoughts on any of this? Give me a buzz. It's nice once we have the history to be able to go back and comment on this. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Now, since I was doing this research yesterday, I actually solved a mystery that I had been trying to solve for years and years and years. Now, let me give you the backstory on this. Many of you know the Women's Club home over on East Center Street, the big Women's Club home. Well, years ago, I did a lot of shows and had a lot of meetings in that Women's Club home. Used it quite a bit, had a good relationship with the people. This is probably more than 10 years ago. And what people don't realize is when you rented the Women's Club, back in those days, I haven't been in there in quite some time, but when you rented the Women's Club, what you really rented was the auditorium. I think it's the Abigail Harding Auditorium. And the Abigail Harding Auditorium is not exactly part of the house. The house was owned by a family named Barlow, the actual home. and it has all the original furnishings. Now, I don't really know how it became the women's club home, except that the Barlows willed it to the women's club. But when you went to the women's club for a meeting or a show, or you rented it for a reception or something like that, you never went into the Barlow home. You just went into that auditorium, which is over to the side. So most people have never actually been in the actual home, which is the Barlow home. Now, for years, actually from the 60s, probably until the talk of this Harding Museum started a few years ago, what was that, 3-4 years ago, there was something in that Barlow home that really most people around here didn't know was there. What was in the Barlow home, the women's club home, was the actual piano that Harding, President Warren G. Harding, and Florence Harding had in the White House. Florence and Warren, when they lived in the White House from 1921 until he died in 23, they had a piano in the White House. Now, this piano ended up at the Barlow home, the women's club home. And to be honest with you, nobody cared for many, many years. Well, then when this Harding Museum was going to open up over here, the Harding Museum decided they wanted this piano. They found out that the Women's Club had it, and they wanted the piano because they said it was on loan from the Harding home to the Women's Club. And now that they were going to have more room and they were going to have this Harding Museum, they wanted the piano back. And I do think the Women's Club gave the piano back. Now, I'm not sure. I know there was a lot of conjecture about this at the time, but I do think the Women's Club gave them the piano back. Okay, does anybody remember this? 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. But I don't think the Women's Club really wanted to give up this piano because it had been there for a long time and it was a heavy-duty heirloom. But the problem was the Harding home insisted that they had lent it to the Women's Club because they didn't have room for it at the Harding home. And the Women's Club had no documentation about where this piano came from, so they kind of had to go with it, and that's why whatever happened, happened. Well, no matter what has happened since then, the mystery has been solved as of last night. Now, I have a newspaper article that appeared in the Marion Star on March the 22nd, 1965. March the 22nd, 1965. So we're talking, what now is that? More than, well, where are we? Almost 60 years ago. 50-something years ago at this point. March 22nd, 1965, in the Marion Star. Now, here's the story. I'm going to read you the story, the whole story. And this will solve the mystery of, was the piano lent to the Harding or the Women's Club from the Harding home? Should they have given it back? How did this all happen? Here's the story written up in its own time, March 22nd, 1965. Here's the headline. Women's Unit Gets Harding Piano as a Gift. The Marion County Federation of Women's Clubs in an appreciation... Now, wait a second. Let me start over here. The headline is, Women's Unit Gets Harding Piano as Gift. The Marion County Federation of Women's Clubs, in an appropriate ceremony Saturday night, became the possessor of a grand piano that once belonged to President Warren G. Harding. Dr. Warren Sawyer, on behalf of the Harding Memorial Association, presented the piano to the club as one of the highlights of a piano recital by Miss Patty Ritterspach. It was accepted by Miss Ernest O. Smith, President of the Federation. The instrument once occupied a spot in the West Sitting Room of the White House. The presentation followed the recital sponsored by the Lecture Recital Club Past President's Assembly. Mr. Harding could not play the piano, so it was equipped with an electrical player. The Baby Grand was a gift to the President and Mrs. Harding by the A.B. Chase Company, makers of pianos. Some 200 persons were on hand for the recital, which included music by Bach, Chopin, and as played by Mrs. Ritterspach, a senior in Wyandotte High School, at a special and a special music student in piano at Capital University. Mrs. S.R. Vermillion, chairman of the club scholarship fund, paid tribute to the young artist and presented her a gift of money voted by the unit's board. Mrs. Gerald Jennings, president of the assembly, was in charge of the night's activities. The Harding piano was not given to the clubs as an outright gift, but to be used by the 18 Club Federation for as long as it wishes. Dr. Sawyer, making the formal presentation, said he was pleased and happy to find in the club home a most suitable resting place for the one-time Harding instrument. So there you go. 740-383-9944. That's the story of President Harding's piano from the White House. Solved, what, 50-something years later. That article was from the Marion Star, March 22nd, 1965. And so now we know that the piano did not end up there because the Harding home lent it there. It ended up there because of Dr. Warren Sawyer. So where is that piano now? Is it over in the Harding home? Is it over in the Harding Museum, which I think is trying to open up at this point? Is it still at the Women's Club? Does anybody know anything about this piano? The piano from the Women's Club that once was in the White House of President and Florence Harding. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Give me a buzz. Now, I wonder if this the first person to play this piano, because technically she could still be alive. Who was that here? What was her name again? The person who played the piano that day? Patty Ritterspach. Patty Ritterspach would have been a senior in 1965, which she would have been born in what, 1948? If she was a senior in 1965, so she would have been 48. So let's see, she would be what, 73? Is that right? Am I doing my math here right? Yeah, she'd be 73. How about that? So she could very well still be alive. Does anybody know Patty Ritterspach? R-I-T-T-E-R-S-P-A-C-H. She'd be about 72, 73 years old at this point. Or she might have a married name, but she was the first person to play the piano at the Women's Club, the Harding piano, when it was taken there on March 22nd, 1965. Now, you know, this is, to some people, probably pointless, but it is an interesting story because nobody seemed to have the story right. Nobody at the Women's Club really knew how it got there, and it almost seemed as if the Harding home thought they had lent it to the Women's Club and were asking for it back. So, I don't know. Did it end up back there? Does anybody know the whereabouts of this piano now, or is it still over at the Women's Club? 740-383-9944. Now, there's some Marian history unearthed today here on WWGH Radio. 32 minutes past the hour. And do you think it should have stayed at the Women's Club after you know the story now? Do you think it should have stayed at the Women's Club? Do you think it should have gone back to the Harding home? Do you think it should have? Well, apparently it was never at the Harding home or the Harding Museum. Do you think it should be over there? I don't know. Give me a buzz. 740-383-9944. Toll-free lines are open here today. We would love to hear from you. 740-383-9944. 33 minutes past the hour here on this Getaway Friday. All right. Here comes a phone call. Let's take it. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, the Harding Center has a piano. Where did it ever come from?
The Harding Center?
Yeah.
Are you talking about the Harding Hotel?
Yeah.
Yeah, the grand piano that's up there?
Yeah, where did it ever come from?
You know, I don't know where that piano came from. I don't think it has anything to do with the Hardings, though, because the Harding Hotel was built after Harding had died.
Right, but they built that. Well, they were in the process of building that for him to move in there, but he never got to go, so.
Building him a hotel?
Well, the Harding Hotel, yeah, because they have the presidential room in there, and that was where he was supposed to be, but it's all apartments now, and people live up there.
You know, I'd never heard that because how would they have known where he was going to live?
Well, I don't know, but he was supposed to move in there, and he died because they have the presidential room that, when people live up there, they used to have potlucks and everything in there, and they said no, they had built that just for him.
You know, I don't think that's right. Now, I don't want to say that's wrong, but, he died in office unexpectedly. So, and I'm not even, and Mrs. Harding did come back to Marion to live for several years, and she did not live in the Harding Hotel. She lived out at the Sawyer Sanitarium.
I know that.
Right, so I doubt that he ever planned to live in a hotel, and I, to be honest with you, had he lived, I don't think he ever would have came back to Marion, Ohio, because he'd been living in Washington for a long time because he'd been a senator.
Yeah. But then why did they build that and call it the Harding Hotel, and they built the rooms that he was supposed to be in there?
I think they built the hotel and named it Harding, just like they named the school Harding, because, you know, he was the president from here. A lot of things around here are named after Harding that came long after his death, like the high school.
Yeah.
So I think that the station is named after Warren G. Harding.
Yeah.
So I think that's probably why it was called the Harding Hotel. But I think whoever said that there was a room up there that he was supposed to live in, I think that's probably fiction. I don't think that was ever the case. It was probably just, I'm sure there was a presidential suite. It was a big hotel, but all hotels have a presidential suite. It doesn't mean a president's going to live in them.
So, well, if anybody else knows anything about it, maybe they'll call in.
Maybe we'll hear about it. Thank you. Bye-bye. All right, well, I've never heard that story. Now, I'm not saying what I just said was right, but I do know the Harding home came after Harding had, or the Harding Hotel came after Harding had died. So I don't think he would have lived there, and I don't think he planned on living there. as Mrs. Harding went to the Sawyer Sanitarium, and I don't think that, I think it was just named the Harding Hotel because he was dead, and he's a big name in this community. Did anybody ever hear that? That President Harding was going to come live at the Harding Hotel, and that there was a room upstairs that he was going to live in? 37 minutes past the hour here, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Give me a buzz. I'd love to know what you know. Or any thoughts. Does anybody know where the piano came from that's in the lobby of the Harding Hotel? I've never heard anything about that piano. And a matter of fact, I think there is a plaque on that piano that tells who donated it. And I don't think it was the Hardings. I'm not sure who it was. Matter of fact, I think that grand piano came after the renovation, because the Harding Hotel was closed for quite a while in the 80s and 90s. And then when it reopened as a retirement community, I think that's when that grand piano came in. I don't think that grand piano was there prior to it closing, because it was in pretty bad shape, was my understanding, prior to its reopening as a senior community. 740-383-9944. Does anybody know any of this? 740-383-9944. Or any stories in regard to, do you remember when the Harding Hotel closed for the first time? You know, we had a lot of talk here this morning about the Harding Hotel. Apparently they were supposed to have the 5-tier parking garage when the Cityscape program was going on in 1981, but the people who owned it then were having financial difficulties. You know, the Harding Hotel, for whatever reason, maybe its location being downtown, for a long time has apparently financially never done well. You know, and this group in 81 that owned it is talking about how they were having financial difficulties, and then it was closed for a long period, the 80s and the 90s. Then sometime in the late 90s, the retirement home bought it and reopened it, renovated it, and it became a retirement home, but I don't think they ever made a whole lot of money, because they ended up selling it off. And now it's in the hands of a downtown business person, and the side of it's falling off, and it's talked about how there's not enough money to renovate it. And, you know, it's just, it's never been a hotel that made a lot of money, and it's never been apartment buildings that made a lot of money. Any stories on the Harding Hotel? 740-383-9944. 40 minutes past the hour here. Give us a buzz. 740-383-9944. I forget the years it was closed. It would have been sometime after 81, but I know it closed before 90. So it had to be sometime there in the mid-80s. And I don't think it opened back up till like 97, 98, somewhere in that area, when it turned into retirement living. But I know there was a big, big ceremony. Did anybody ever go to that? What was the basement called? The key room? Now, this would have been probably in the 60s and 70s. Maybe even the 50s. Key Club? Was it called the Key Club? But, you know, I don't know what happened in the 70s and 80s. It might have been the same thing that was happening to all the other downtown businesses. They just were having trouble. And apparently the Harding Hotel was not immune from that. 740-383-9944. Give me a buzz if you have any thoughts. And on this women's club story, the piano was given by Warren Sawyer to the women's club. The Harding home did not give it to the women's club, the piano that was Warren Harding's and Florence Harding's from the White House. It was Dr. Sawyer, our Warren Sawyer, who gave the piano from the White House to the Women's Club, which I don't know if that piano is still at the Women's Club. It was until at least 2 years ago. Now, I don't know if the Harding home did get possession back of it, or if it is over in the Harding Museum. That I don't know. Does anybody know the answer to this? 740-383-9944, or is it still over at the Women's Club? Any ideas? 740-383-9944. Wouldn't we all like to know? Go ahead, caller.
Hey, Scott, this is Pat. How you doing?
Doing good.
Hey, I'll tell you what you need to do for this research you're doing on this downtown stuff is get old George Casotis to come over and talk with you one day.
Yeah, I'll have
George
to.
George is in business down there, and he knows it all.
Well, George was down there, and so was George Turoff. He's still around.
Right.
And, you know, I had talked to Dick Kiefer about it, and I remember, I can almost swear, you know, Dick is gone now, but I could have sworn that Dick Kiefer told me that it took him a long time to pay that off. So I don't know if there ever was municipal bonds.
Right, and the thing with the frontage on the charge it was charging for that, chances are that's what caused a lot of them stores to move out and go to the mall and stuff.
Well, yeah, and did you ever hear, I mean, this is in writing here, did you ever hear anything about sculptures and unique signs or this five-tier parking garage at the Harding Hotel?
The only sculpture I know of is Charlie Evers put it on top of the courthouse.
Right, and that was certainly before 1981.
That was mid-80s.
I think 80 is when it happened.
Yeah.
But yeah, well, I mean, I don't, apparently they were, I don't know. See, what confuses me is, you know, we complained about this parking for 40 years.
Right.
And, but they knew back then. I mean, it's in
well,
this article.
For years, in the 90s and the early 2000s, parking wasn't really a problem because there wasn't anything downtown to go see anyway.
Yeah, but you know, in the 80s, I remember the Palace was, you know, just as big as it is now, and you had Henny and Cooper
right.
down there. Henny and Cooper used to be a big spot. And you, in the 80s, there were, you know, the, well, the courthouse has always been down there. The cigar shop was open down there. You know, I think the senior home, when the Harding Hotel reopened, it was a senior home. I don't know that there are more things down there now. George, I don't think, went out till the mid-90s. There were a lot of bars.
All those places you mentioned, though, basically had their own parking lots. The Palace Theater, most folks park behind the county building or else in the lot just to the west of the Palace. And the hotel had a parking lot behind the back of it there. And, you know, well, you got your city lot up there on Prospect Street. And you got the lot right there by the old Montgomery Ward building, too. So, you know, it.
Well, I guess what I don't.
People did a little walking, but.
Well, they also had some banks down here. I mean, both those National
right.
City used to be down here, and, I forget what the Ohio State Bank yeah. now, but that was. Well, I guess what I don't understand is, in 81. Clearly, downtown was not doing well. So,
no one.
Right. So, what was the point of taking out parking? How was that supposed to help downtown, taking out
parking? Well, I think what they did when they did all that landscaping and stuff during the early 80s there, you know, and they were trying to revive downtown. Well, the city, the one-way streets came into effect in 1962. And they were all just straight. I mean, you know, the curbs were straight. You didn't have all that in and out stuff and this, that, and the other thing. So that's when you lost all the parking, when you put that kind of stuff in down there.
Now, did you read, because I read this, and I got to print the article. Did you read that the reason the city council was willing to hear the ordinance to make West Center one way was because of a nursing home? And that,
I never heard that. Yeah. I was only 9 years old when they made it one way, so, yeah.
I'll have to print that article off. It's very strange.
I mean, that happened in 1962.
Well,
but
like this women's.
They talk about changing it back to two-way. Can you imagine the amount of money they would have in doing that? changing all the signage and tearing those islands out, changing the traffic lights. I mean, it would be a nightmare.
Well, I think it would, but I also think that, downtown is very hard to navigate, not just because of Center and Church, you know, but State and Prospect are both one way. And whoever decided that this, you know, I can understand you want to slow traffic, but you can't make every street downtown one way except one, Main Street. And that,
personally, I like it.
Well, see, but if you're not from here, it's ridiculous to try to get around down there.
Right. I mean, you know, the signage is good enough that you know that if you're going Route 4 North, you're going to take State Street. If you're going Route 4 South, you've got the islands down there on Main that get you in the right street, you know. It's pretty simple, really.
Well, I think if you live here, I think we've become so used to it, but I can't imagine if, let's say I've been to Upper quite a bit in the last year, and if I went to Upper Sandusky, and there was only one two-way street downtown, and I'm trying to find these places, it'd be a nightmare, because I don't live in Upper.
I think another reason that they did the one-way thing the way it is downtown, and is because of all the truck traffic we used to have. When Marion had all the industry they used to have, we had an awful lot of semi-truck traffic downtown. And now since they built that Marion-Williamsport Road thing out by Whirlpool, you don't have near the traffic downtown on semi-trucks you used to.
No, you're right, and I think that it's nice to have Maine as an artery, but you know, I think that's why Maine has kept its business. Look at State Street and Prospect Street. They're ghost towns.
Well, yeah, pretty much. I mean, you figure State Street's only got, one block or two blocks. It's business district. The rest of it's residential. And Prospect Street's basically the same way. You get south of Columbia on Prospect Street, it's residential.
Right, but I mean, even the parts of it that, I mean, clearly back in 1981... they were still charging $160 to the business owners on Prospect Street, but what businesses are on Prospect Street now?
None. Well, the bowl and I went out of business, and the coffee shop went out of business, and that's, you know, there was a few small shops down south of Church, between Church and Columbia. They had a couple of rental places and the Napa store. Actually, it was a office store before that.
And then you look over on State, and State, I think even prior to 81 was not doing, it just has always been even worse than Prospect.
Yeah, and the overpasses had something to do with that too.
I think that's
everything north of Center Street, you know, you're blocked up with the overpasses.
Well, I mean, I just think, because I know our palace draws a lot of out-of-towners for big shows, and can you imagine if you were trying to park, and let's say you're from Lima, and you go down Center Street, and on your first pass, you can't find a parking spot. You're going to go, first of all, you're going to have to go way down to where you're almost out of downtown. You're going to have to go all, and right now, because the Harding Home Street's closed, you're going to have to go all the way down to the street next to the funeral home there. Then you're going to have to go up and to the next street, which is also one way. Go back all the way to Main Street, because you can't turn on Prospect. That's one way. Going the wrong way. So then you have to go
Orchard. When they get the hotel fixed, you can turn on
if that ever happens. And then you gotta go.
Mid-State contractors will take care of that. I'm telling you, they're working on it.
Well, you know, the Harding Hotel, just on this note, why is that always in peril? Apparently since 1981. In 1981 here, they're talking about being in financial trouble. It was closed for 10 years. They opened it back up. The senior center there never really did very well. They had to sell out. And now they were going to turn it into dorms at one point. That never took off. And now it's falling apart, and the person who owns it has admitted to the newspaper that she doesn't have the money to fix it.
Well, that's true. I'll tell you what, the hotel, back in the 70s, before the Erie Railroad went out, that was the place for the railroaders that they stayed when they, you know, because they changed crews in Marion.
Right.
And, you know, there was a lot of railroad business in the hotel there.
Well, it's interesting because the thing that surprised me most about these articles, which are 40 years ago, last month and in March, is back then it was a different name, but they had a committee. These committees, they've had committees for 40 years downtown.
I tell you, the whole thing started about the same time the Popcorn Festival did.
Well, why do you think the Popcorn Festival caused such an issue?
Why did it cause an issue? I didn't know it did.
But, well, I mean, these committees. You know, why did we have to start having committees?
Well, that was a big event. And it still is.
I get, hopefully one day there's a, well, like this guy who's running this, what they, back in that day called the, whatever they called it there, the, what did they call this committee back in these days? They called it the IRMA, the IRMA committee. You know, this guy's right here giving the quote in this article saying, my personal opinion is that we have enough parking. It's just, it isn't properly used.
Well, I guess I could almost agree with that.
I don't know.
You don't have that many retail businesses downtown.
No, but
you got a bunch of restaurants on Main Street, but you look at West Center Street. You got that Ohio State gift shop. You got that place in west of the Chase Bank there. What do they call that? Place got all the antique shops.
Charleston Place.
Yeah. And I don't know, just some Chamber of Commerce thing or something's in the old Montgomery Ward building. That used to be Cable Fulfillment. There's actually not that much retail downtown except for Main Street.
I think that's right, but I think any time the Palace has had a show or any time there's been an event at the Harding Hotel, which has a ballroom, I think any time that anything has happened on Center Street. Well, when we just left a building down on Center Street, the Chase building.
Right.
Well, we weren't allowed to park in the parking lot.
Because my wife worked in that building for years. They had their office on the fourth floor.
Yeah.
And their parking, they had to park over the church on Prospect Street and then walk over there.
Right.
Because it was bank parking, you know.
Right. And then you have
now Ohio Health has got it, so Ohio Health wants their people that be able to get their doctor's appointments and stuff without a lot of walk.
Right, and then on the opposite side, you've got the park there, the tiny park, which is next to what was supposed to be Amato's Pizza. Now, there's
right.
No park. If you're going to that park, where are you going to park at?
City parking lot.
Now, how far is that?
100 feet away.
Yeah, but in winter, you don't want these 90-year-old people walking down there.
Well, ain't nobody going to be out there in the wintertime, 90 years old, going to that park.
No, but I think they'll be going to the pizza place, I would think.
Well, yeah, there's probably parking available. There's some available on Center Street for the pizza shop.
We hope. You know, I don't know. I just, like, this new grocery store. Now, this was supposed to be a godsend downtown. And
right.
Everybody I've talked to, there's never more than two or three people in there. And, again, it's a parking issue, they keep saying. Well,
they got a nice lot right next to the building.
But I think that'll only fit about four or five cars.
It'll fit. I'll bet they can get 15, 20 cars in there.
You think?
Yeah.
I'm going to stop by there today and see that parking. Because I've never been in the parking. I passed by.
Park both directions in there. You pull in, you can either pull into a place in the east or west.
I'm going to take a look at
that. Parking there.
Because I never
there's
see.
There's enough parking for that store.
Well, I wonder why there's never anybody in there.
Well, it's I don't know.
It's it.
I've been there a couple times and I like the store. But you go to the grocery shop and what do? You go to Walmart or Kroger.
Right, but I would think some of these people who live downtown or work downtown would spend more time in there, and it's also got very weird hours.
Yeah, well, that's up to the business owner, yeah. I guess.
But. Well, we'll see, but hey, I thank you for calling in.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Have a good day.
All right, phone lines are open here, 740-383-9944. The phone line's busy, just means we're on the line with somebody else, so call on back in History Day today here on The Exchange. What an interesting bit this has been. just with three articles today. These two articles from March and April of 1981, talking about the loss of parking spaces downtown. 30% were taken away in 81. And the streetscape, is what it was called, in 81, that really changed downtown Marion. Apparently was supposed to give us sculptures and unique street signs, and there was supposed to be a five-tier parking garage over at the Harding Hotel. Whatever happened to that, we don't know. And then we also went back to 1965 and found out that the piano that was at the Women's Club, the Barlow Home, was given by Sawyer, Warren Sawyer, 1965, March the 22nd, and was supposed to stay there, apparently, but the Harding Home apparently called in that note, and we did learn the Harding Home never did give it to them, which they claim they did, but you know, we like to get to the bottom of history here. 740-383-9944. Does anybody have any information on any of this, or the Harding Hotel? Harding Hotel history is kind of interesting as well. Give me a buzz, 740-383-9944. I'd love to hear your thoughts. I can probably fit one or two more calls in before we go off the air here today. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, I think you've taken over as Marion's most negative person.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Who did I displace?
Nothing good to say about Marion whatsoever. It's all negative. Come on, you're a radio host.
Now, what do you think was negative? I don't know what that was about. Well, you know what? I think we have to look at history, and I think we have to know what is fact and what is fiction. Now, we can be very positive all the time and try to push things along, but sometimes that's just not the reality of the situation. And I don't think that anybody would look back at the streetscape program and say that that was a good idea. Now, if somebody thinks it was a good idea, that's okay. But I don't know a whole lot of people who think that it is or was. And these things that were promised, I don't know that they ever did happen. And I'm just curious as to why they didn't happen. Now, we can be cheerleaders all day long. You know, somebody told me a long time ago, and I wish more people adhered to this in society. You know, if you have a house and you have three televisions in your house and two are working and one is not, you talk about the one that's not working because you want it to work. You don't want to just have two televisions. You want all three to work. You don't talk about the televisions that are working. They don't need any help. You talk about the one that's not working. And how do we fix it? And to me, that's society. This is where I live. I don't want to see anything bad happen to Marion. But I certainly think that we do have to look at our history. And we do have to understand how we got where we are. Which I doubt most people downtown do. I mean, I didn't know till yesterday. And I also think that if you say there's not a problem in certain areas, downtown being one of them, the south end of Marion being another, if you say the mall's doing great, okay, that's positive. But is it fact? I guess people who go by the mall would have to decide that. If you say downtown is booming, I guess you can say it. That's positive. But is it fact? And I think sometimes we deal more in, like I said earlier on this morning, I said people don't like anything but positive. You have to be positive all the time, for lack of a better term. But sometimes things aren't always perfect. So maybe one day they will be, but they are not currently. But maybe we'll get there. All right. Done for today. 8 to 10 p.m. tonight. Check out Angie and I on the radio with the Friday night show. And I'll talk to you then. For this day, Scott... Well, we can take one more call here, by the way, if anybody wants to call in. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Give me a buzz, and we can discuss whatever you like to discuss. Negative or positive, as they say. 740-383-9944. And isn't it interesting that a lot of the calls this morning have been pretty much in the vein of this is what happened, this is what happened, this is what happened, this is what happened. You know, the Aquatic Center is also an interesting one. We'll have to get into that at some point. But, you know, most, it's there. I think we'd all like it to work better, meet its financial burden. But at the time, it just didn't work out that way, as we talked with the mayor about not too long ago. So, that's it for today. This is Scott Spears heading for the dugout.
Streaming live on the internet at www.wwgh1071.com. Programming on WWGH Radio 107.1 FM is supported by CRT Mechanicals. Address 2842 Marion Waldo Road. Telephone number 740-225-4495. Webpage.